You see, people who are being saved are carrying on a current conversation with God. I mean, I'm not talking about weird listening to voices in the dark, but I'm talking about when you're doing devotion, someone will say, man, did you see what God said this morning? Really? It is so refreshing to be around those people. I love it. That's why Mary, when Gabriel spoke to her, she could hear correctly. Why? Because she wasn't just saved, she was being saved.
Aloha and mele kalikimaka. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled The Faith of Mary, where we got a glimpse of the heart of this young servant of God and why she was selected to be the mother of the Christ child. In a moment, we'll hear the conclusion of that message, but first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of favorite Christmas carols from New Hope.
Would you be so kind as to take a hold of the person's hand next to you as we continue to sing, Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Faith of Mary.
It was a Sunday after church, and I was rushing to a luncheon, and so I'm in a hurry. Now, whenever you're in a hurry, all the slow drivers come onto the streets. I know. They have a phone tree, and they say, you know, they just call 911. Wayne is in a hurry. Okay, and they all run to their cars. And they just clog up this whole system. Well, it was one Sunday, that's exactly what happened. I was behind this lady about 220 years old, and she just slow, she couldn't find the gas pedal, just searching for it all day, couldn't find it. Well, we come up to this one, I think it was Baratania, and I needed to turn right, so I was trying to get around her, but couldn't. So she puts on her signal. I thought, okay, well, she'll just turn and I'll go around her. And so she comes to this. Now, in Hawaii, there's a law that says if you're coming to a one-way street and you're in their far right turn sign, it doesn't say, you know, no turn except with a green arrow or whatever, and there's no cars coming, you can check and it's clear, no car, you can what? Go. Yeah, you can turn. Go. So I pull up in back of her. She's got her turning signal on. Took her a day to stop, but she finally did. And then she's just waiting there. And I look, and there's like no cars for a 3 days journey. It's clear to Kauai, I said to her. Go, turn. She just wouldn't turn. Turn. You know, I don't want to open my mouth and yell out the window because she might recognize me. So I do this. See, you do that, this too. You use a ventriloquist kind of thing, you know. Go! Turn, idiot! See, you do that. Yeah, you do. And she just wouldn't turn. So finally the light turns and she just slowly goes out. You know, and I whip around and I remember pounding on my steering wheel like this saying, read your driver's manual. And then it was almost as if the Lord said to me, and that's what this is, a driver's manual. Because when you know this, it doesn't stop you up, it frees you up. You begin to understand the freedoms in Christ and how to correct your life back. Sure, there's going to be certain parameters and guardrails, but that's so you can live without killing people. As you read my word, you'll be able to move forward with confidence without destroying one another. This is your infallible guidebook for living. Live by it. But it'll mean that we'll need to read it. It'll mean that we need to know it. And that's why around here at New Hope, we unapologetically, unequivocally keep ringing the bell that resonates with the sound, do your daily devotions. Read the Word of God just incrementally throughout the year so that seeping into your heart will be the principles that'll last forever, that'll help you to navigate freely with confidence and keep us from killing each other. The first conviction that we have to come to, not when you're just at the end of your rope and, oh, God, help me, and we look for something, is too late. It's way back here, like Mary, who wrestled with certain things and had certain convictions deep within her so that when Gabriel spoke, she recognized his voice and could make the turn regardless of what her plans already were. God's still looking for Marys. I hope he'll choose us. The first is about the word. The second is another conviction that has to be established way over here is that it's not about me. See, the main reason I exist is to what? The purposes of God. It's to serve the purposes of God. Because sometimes we live thinking life is all about me. First of all, we got to get over ourselves. Because it's not about us. It's about God revealing Jesus Christ to the world through us. That's what we signed up for. But sometimes we think we sign up so God will bless me and make it all about me. Put me on a bronze plaque somewhere on the earth. And the Lord says, get over yourself. Because you only live here for a split second. And we're going to live a lot longer on the other side of the line than this side. Our life on this side is like aerosol can. James says it's like a vapor and it's gone. Psalmist says our life is like a breath. Job says our life is like a sigh. That's it. So we live here for a purpose, and that's to serve the purposes of God. And once we get that deep within us, do you understand how it balances out the disequilibrium of our life? Otherwise, we'll get running down rabbit trails that are dead ends, and we'll nail the end of the trail. We'll have to backtrack, and by then we lost 5 years. And we do that again. We lost another 5 years. And then we do that again and come back. And we come back here, but we could have saved 15 years. And the Word of God says, if you'll establish that conviction here, I'll save you 15 or 20 years. The third is God's plans for me, because we'll usually have our own, but God's plans for me are always multiple choice, worse than, more competitive than, or better than my own. Good. See, you're doing better on your tests already. It's multiple choice, but God's plans are always better than my own. And then number four, it is obedience to God. And that is what He will use to grow me and fulfill His best for my life. It's not just knowing God, it's what? Obedience to God. Because we know a lot about God, but we have yet to obey Him. How often I say that there's a difference between agreeing with God and obeying God. Or agreeing with God is asking Him to bless you. When He does, we go, woo-hoo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're agreeing with God. Nothing wrong with that. When God asks us to do something or blesses us in a way that promotes us in the direction and the plans we already had, we agree with God. Obeying God is when He gives us a plan that's different from ours and we still follow Him and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. See, agreeing with God is doing what we already want to do. Obeying God is doing stuff that we don't really want to do, but we do it anyway. So there's a lot of Christians that have agreed with God for 10 years, but we have yet to obey Him. We don't obey Him. But that's what God uses right here as the ingredients through which He will transform our lives. And Mary understood obedience because she had her own plans. And Gabriel said, left turn. And she said, I'm ready. And God says, that's the kind of hearts that I need through which God will reveal His Son. Would God choose you? I hope so. And those are some of the things that God places in the Bible so that at Christmas seasons like this, we can understand that the most important thing of all, and as wonderful as all of the decorations are, somewhere in the world, God is still wanting to reveal His Son to the world, just like He did 2,000 years ago. He just needs Mary's. And so He puts her story right here in Luke so that we can harvest, we can garner out of that what it means to be a people through whom God will reveal His Son. So the first is that she had certain convictions. But just because she was chosen, she had won the American Idol. Gabriel said, favored are you among all women. God has chosen you. Do you think she just started to gloat a little bit? Dude, am I cool or what? No. You know what? She came to the angel Gabriel and said, thank you. Now what shall I do to bring this to pass? How can I cooperate with you? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. Tell me, what do you want me to do? And here's the second thing that I think we need to see in the choosing of a Mary and the reason for her faith. And that is this. Even though she was chosen, she won the choice, the contest, she still had a heart of humility and teachability. Sometimes when we rise to the top, we think we're like the cat's meow. We're the dog's big bark from the big dog. It's like consequences apply to everybody else, but no longer to me. I'm bulletproof now, can't you see? But I want you to see with me that Mary was chosen. She made it. She was the woman of all women. And yet, there was a teachable humility in her heart that was so precious. And would you write down in your second note there, Mary was still in the process of learning more every day. Even though she was chosen, favored, hail, O favored one, she was still learning more every single day. And I encourage you, doesn't matter if you're a CEO, doesn't matter if you're a multimillionaire, doesn't matter if you're nearing a billionaire and you're at the top of your game, never become unteachable, because I bet we still have more to learn. And Mary was that. When Gabriel said, you're favored among women, you're going to be chosen by God through whom he'll reveal his son. Her answer was, read it with me, Luke 1:34, go. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? In other words, I'm a virgin, how shall this be? You tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm ready to roll. She's saying, I don't know it all. Now, her answer sounds the same as her cousin's husband, because just a few verses separated from this, the angel appears to Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin. She had a husband named Zechariah. He was in the temple doing his priestly duty. Same angel, Gabriel, Zechariah. Your wife, who has been called barren, shall bear a son, and you shall name him John, who is later called John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And Zechariah answered almost the same thing that Mary did. Let's read it here, Luke 1:18. Go. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is... oh, an old lady too. And I thought, wait a minute. He kind of answered the same thing as Mary. Mary said, how shall this be? He's saying, how shall this be? And you know what God did to Zechariah? He said, I'm going to push the mute button. And you're going to be shut up in your mouth till the son is born. Because you doubted my words. And I thought, wait a minute. Here's a man that says the same thing as this woman. And the man gets nailed and the woman doesn't. Figure that. So I said, God, how come? And then I began to understand as I read this, Mary, when she said, how shall this be? You know what her answer was really? How shall I cooperate with you? I got it. I'm ready to go. Zechariah, on the other hand, when he said, how can I be sure of this? You know what that means in that vernacular of that day? How can I be sure of this? It sounds nice, but here's what he said. I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, right. Look at my woman. She can't even get recycled. Just joking, all right. So she's well advanced in years. And the angel said, you know that nothing is impossible with God. And so I'm going to keep you from talking. But yet, Mary was saying, I still have a lot to learn. I don't know how this is going down, but you just tell me how to cooperate with you, and I'm ready to roll. And Gabriel said, that's it. People that God chooses increases you in influence and rank, but you remain as humble and childlike as the day you were called. And God says, that's the kind of people through whom I can reveal my son. Not those whose noses are in the air after a while, because we get a few successes under our belts. Because the scripture says it this way, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. For pride cometh just before a fall. Mary, on the other hand, was humble. And you know, that's the secret of the book of Acts. Let's read this out of the book of Acts. I want you to see something with me. This is really cool. Let's read it. Go. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were... Would you underline that? They weren't just saved. They were what? Yeah, here's the last question. Are you saved or are you being saved? Yeah, let me give you a better answer. It is both. Saved and still... In other words, you're saved and you've got some convictions, but are you still learning? Oh, tons. I know guys that say, yeah, I was saved back in 1962. I was here in this church before you came and I'll be here after you're gone. On the other hand, it is so refreshing to be around people that are still being saved. Oh, they're saved. But they're still being saved. There's an effervescence about them. There's a buoyancy. There's like new things happening. Hey, I was reading this morning, they will share. And the Lord just spoke to me about something I'd never knew, thought about before. Really? You talked with them today? Today. You see, people who are being saved are carrying on a current conversation with God. That's pretty cool. I'm not talking about weird listening to voices in the dark, but I'm talking about from the Word of God, when you're doing devotion, someone will say, man, did you see what God said this morning? Really? Yeah. They're hearing God fresh, with fresh ears. It is so refreshing to be around those people. I love it. That's why Mary, when Gabriel spoke to her, she could hear correctly. Why? Because she wasn't just saved. She was being saved. She could discern the voice of God, and not with doubt, but with faith. Why? Because she was hearing God speak to her. She had ears that heard, that hear. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard God speak to you about something that you needed to adjust, change, reformat, redo, undo, repent of, activate upon? When was the last time you wrote a word down from the Lord and said, I need to do this week? That's what, by the way, our life planners are so important for. There, it'll even ask you, you know, what's God saying? What are some important things this month that He's saying? Write it down right here. What it does is the life planner helps develop your ears to hear so that you're constantly being saved. That's why we put those things out. But it helps you to develop ears because there just may be a day Gabriel will come and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you'll hear his voice and you'll say, got it. And you'll move that way because you're not someone just saved, you're someone being saved. And then the Lord will say to you, there's a lot of people that need to see Jesus. I think I found the one through whom he will be revealed. I pray. You'll find a lot of those kinds of people called Mary right here in New Hope. What do you think? May he find us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful church called New Hope. Help us, Lord, not to get so caught up. As wonderful as the times are and parties are, we need to be involved in every single one of them. But Lord, to not exchange the party for the presence of God. We love Christmas and we love the festivities, but never to the exchange of you being revealed. So we'll watch for open doors. Use us, we pray, so that the world may see Jesus through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Would you give him a clap offering? Thank you, Lord. Hey, let's sing. bless you. Have a great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out, would you?
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Faith of Mary by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.